भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय थूलायामा लवेनापि न स्वर्गम् न पुनर्भवं भगवत् सङ्गी सङ्गस्य मध्यानं किम् उठाशिषा थूलयामालिप्लवेनाभि न स्वर्गं न पुनर्भवं भगवत्सङ्गिसङ्गस्य मर्ज्यानं किम् उठाशिषः The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When there are some similar points, it is possible to compare one thing to another. One cannot compare the association of a pure devotee to anything material. Men who are addicted to material happiness aspire to reach the heavenly planets like the moon, Venus, and Indraloka. And those who are advanced in material philosophical speculation aspire after liberation from all material bondage. When one becomes frustrated with all kinds of material advancement, one desires the opposite type of liberation, which is called apunarbhav, or no rebirth. But the pure devotees of the Lord do not aspire after the happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom, nor do they aspire after liberation from material bondage. In other words, for the pure devotees of the Lord, the material pleasures obtainable in the heavenly planets are like phantasmagoria, and because they are already liberated from all material conceptions of pleasure and distress, they are factually liberated even in the material world. This means that the pure devotees of the Lord are engaged in a transcendental existence, namely in the loving service of the Lord, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. As a government servant is always the same, either in the office or at home or at any place, so a devotee has nothing to do with anything material, for he is exclusively engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. Since he has nothing to do with anything material, what pleasure can he derive from material benedictions like kingship or other overlordships, which are finished quickly with the end of the body? Devotional service is eternal. It has no end because it is spiritual. Therefore, since the assets of a pure devotee are completely different from material assets, there is no comparison between the two. Sutta Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his association with the rishis in Naimasharanya is unique. In this material world, association with gross materialists is veritably condemned. The materialist is called Yoshit Sanghi, or one who is much attached to material entanglement, women and other paraphernalia. Such attachment is conditioned because it drives away the benedictions of life and prosperity. And just the opposite is Bhagavat Sanghi, or one who is always in the association with the Lord's name, form, qualities, etc. Such association is always desirable. It is worshipable. It is praiseworthy, and one may accept it as the highest goal of life. Lord Rishabhdev explains in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, that association with worldly-minded people who are too much attached to the enjoyments and pleasures of this world opens the doors to the lowest regions of ignorance. An association with the Mahatmas, those who are honestly, sincerely dedicated to the service of the Lord, opens the doors to the highest state of liberation. Maharaji, Dandavat. Srila Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one of the five most essential items for the execution of bhakti is the association of devotees. And Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya, he explained the quality of a Vaishnava is one who seeks out the association of devotees and who avoids materially inclined people. Why is that? Association is so important. It is the law of material nature that what anything or anyone associates with, we take on those qualities. Because the great souls, Mahatmanastu mam paratha daivim prakriti nashita, they are always in contact with Krishna. Therefore, associating with a devotee is the most beneficial means of associating with Krishna. The quality of such a devotee is described by Lord Shiva. Narayana parasarabe nakutashtina vidyate swargabhaparga narakeshu apithulyata darshana. The devotees of Lord Narayan, they do not care whether they are in heaven, whether they are in hell, whether they are liberated. Their only concern is they can continue rendering loving service to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains the story of that prophet who was giving benedictions to different classes of men. To the prince, better you live. Because now you're enjoying so many objects of satisfaction. But when you die, you're going to have to pay the price of all your sins. To the brahmachari, better you die performing such austerities. But because you're doing it for the sake of the Lord, Prabhupada says, when you die, you will go back home, back to Godhead. For the butcher, better you neither live nor die. Because you're living an abominable, miserable life, and after death, you're going to have to pay the price of all the sins of violence. But for Vaishnava, sadhu, either you live or die. Because now you are engaged in the loving service of the Lord, and after death, in the spiritual world, or whatever the Lord desires for you, you will just go on with your loving service. Lord Chaitanya prayed, Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamani mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaitiki. I do not want wealth or the sense gratification of sex. I do not want followers, disciples, prestige, nor do I even want liberation from the cycle of birth and death. My only desire is to serve you unconditionally, birth after birth after birth. A real devotee is one who is either on the platform of transcendental consciousness or who is striving for that platform. Srila Prabhupada explains there's two types of pure devotees. One is one who has perfected his Krishna consciousness and has transcended the modes of material nature and is constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And the other is the person who is honestly and sincerely striving to attain pure devotional service and who is following the process with that desire. Many people worship God because they want material benediction, wealth, family, mystic powers, liberation, elevation to heavenly existence. But one who associates with pure devotees understands that all of these so-called benedictions are temporary. And as explained here, they are ultimately meant for death. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, he describes that the heavenly pleasures that are offered through the process of karma kanda, they are all just phantasmagoria, will-o'-the-wisp, and liberation, kaivalya narakayate. For me, it is worse than hell. There's no possibility of service in that condition. By associating with great souls, one develops the desire to follow the path of bhakti for the purpose of pure devotional service and wants nothing else. Therefore, there is no greater benediction in all creation than association with such a person. Here we find the sages of Naima Sharanya. They are praising Sutta Goswami. They are performing this yajna for the welfare of humanity. But they have come to the conclusion that there is no greater welfare than sitting submissively and hearing from a great Vaishnava. Thus, they are approaching Sutta Goswami with a very, very deep, submissive enthusiasm to hear from him. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that the mercy of the Lord is manifesting through his devotees. Such mercy does not discriminate who is fit and who is unfit. It showers like the monsoon rain. Those persons who expose themselves to that downpour of mercy, they are most fortunate. As Srila Prabhupada explained, sometimes when the sun shines, a person goes indoors. He wants to stay in darkness. The sun, like the rain, is giving its light to everyone, not considering what nationality, what sex, what income bracket, what caste. The sun is for everyone. Those who expose themselves, they benefit. Srila Prabhupada traveled around the planet 12 times with a downpour of the rain of Krishna's mercy, with the brilliant sun of light of his divine grace shining everywhere for everyone. Those who are receptive, those who open their hearts and their minds to receive his mercy, they became most fortunate. The Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes, yes. Confirmation. The Holy Scriptures give us one example after another. Daksha had 10,000 sons. He was a Karmakandi, devotee, but very much mixed with karma. And he understood that for his sons to take the role of king, prajapatis, that they should perform tapasya, to become purified. So he sent them out to perform their yajna. When they went out, they happened to meet Srila Narada Muni. The sons of Daksha, called the Hariyashas, they offered respect to Narada Muni. They were simple in heart. They were respectful. Therefore, they were willing to hear from him. He explained that you are going to perform all this yajna just for some fruitive benefit. But do you not understand that this whole material world is ultimately a place of suffering? He narrated many allegories to prove to them that everything is temporary in this world. This existence is a place of death. Therefore, the real benediction you should be performing your austerities for is pure unconditional devotional service to Lord Krishna. That is the real treasure of life. Within the Holy Scriptures, the goals that people strive for are generally artha kama dhamma moksha, economic development, sense gratification, religiosity, and liberation. But Narada Muni explains that we should reject all these things. Prema Pumartha Mahan Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Purushartha Shiromani, the crest jewel of all goals of life, is to love Krishna. So he taught them the process of devotional service. And just by that few minutes association with Sri Narada Muni, the Hariyashvas, they gave up all their connections to the wealth, the prestige, the power that was being given to them freely. You know, when Daksha marries his sons, they're going to be the most beautiful ladies, the daughters of great rishis or great kings. But they didn't want anything. Just by hearing from Narada Muni submissively, They entered into the renounced order of life. They were happy. Daksha was miserable. So he had another group of sons. And he told them that do not follow what your brothers have done. Very offensive, very unhealthy, and total disobedience. You go and you do as I am telling you. So they went out to perform their tapasya. And Narada Muni came and met them. And essentially he said, you should follow in the footsteps of your brothers. They are so happy. Why do you want to be a part of this miserable material existence and all the miserable temporary entanglements that your father wants you to enjoy? So they also renounced the world. So Daksha became very upset. And when he met Narada Muni, he began to chastise him severely. He said, you are a bogus devotee. You're not a devotee. Devotees are people who actually work for the benefit of others. These young children, how do you expect them to actually develop real renunciation in their heart unless first they enjoy the material world and become ultimately frustrated through this process? You have ruined the lives of my sons. Therefore, I curse you. You will never be able to stay in one place ever again. Narada Muni took that as a benediction. Narada Muni bhajai vina radhika ramana name. He's always traveling, preaching the glories of the Lord. So why is it that Daksha had the same darshan as his sons? His sons became liberated, and Daksha simply became offensive because he was not simple. He was not simple in his heart. He was duplicitous due to too much egoistic attachments in this world. If one has a little simplicity in heart, then one can receive the mercy of the great soul. And that becomes the very means by which we can attain life's perfection. We know the story of that prostitute who was sent by Ramchandra Khan for the purpose of destroying the life of Haridas Thakur. This prostitute was a very materialistic person. She was attached to illicit sex, attached to material opulences. She went to destroy Srila Haridas Thakur. But just by sitting and hearing him chanting for 3 days, she became so completely purified that she surrendered to him. And how did she surrender? She accepted initiation into Harinam Mantra. Excuse me. And on Haridas Thakur's order, she gave all of her wealth away. She left her fine home. And she came to live in the little bhajan kutir that he was to abandon. She shaved her head, wore only simple white clothing, and just depended on other people to come and give food for her to exist. But she was in ecstasy, constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, worshiping Tulsi, and constantly meditating on the lotus feet of her spiritual master. Parandrisvani Vartate. Krishna consciousness is the higher taste that can only come in the association of devotees. Srila Prabhupada tells a beautiful story There was a devotee of Lord Shiva who worshipped Shankar Bhagavan for great material benediction. He wanted so much wealth because wealth brings power and gives all sorts of facilities for materialistic sense gratification. So after long austerities and very, very attentive, sincere worship of Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva appeared to him. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Lord Shiva actually wanted the real welfare of this person. For demons, he will give all kinds of powers by which they simply further entangle themselves in material bondage. But this person was simple in heart. So Lord Shiva, he said, if you want material wealth and opulence, I know someone who has a touchstone. His name is Sanatana Goswami. He's living in Vrindavan on a hill called Dashashvatitya Tirtha, near bank of Jamuna. You go to him. If you ask him for the touchstone, he'll give it to you. He's a very generous sadhu. So with desire for this wealth, he approached Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami's association, so very purifying. When he said that Lord Shiva has told me that you have touchstone and you will give it to me, please give it. Sanatana Goswami said, yes, I have such a touchstone. It is over there where everyone is throwing their trash. Huh? He went through the trash and there he found touchstone. And by utilizing this touchstone, he can, enchanting proper mantra, he could actually change various types of metals into pure gold. He was touching and touching. He was becoming a rich man. But by the association of Sanatana Goswami, just that few moments of association, he developed a higher sense of intelligence. But with that intelligence, he questioned. This touchstone is so valuable. Goswamiji, he's keeping it at the bottom of a rubbish heap. Why? Nobody keeps the touchstone in such a place. And he's living under a different tree every night. He must have something more valuable. So he went back to Sanatana Goswami. Do you have something more valuable than touchstone? You must! Otherwise you're keeping it in such a dirty place. Sanatana Goswami said, I have something hundreds and millions of times more valuable than this touchstone. I want it. Please give it to me. I will give it to you. But first you throw the touchstone in Jamuna. Ah. This is a big test. In order to actually receive transcendental knowledge, there has to be some faith. And Sanatana Goswami was testing his faith in a Vaishnava. On the basis of that faith, he threw the touchstone in the river. And Sanatana Goswami, he said, now I will give you that which will award you the ultimate of all treasures. The greatest treasure is prema bhakti, pure, undivided, loving, devotional service to Lord Krishna. And the touchstone that awakens that love within the heart is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So he gave him Maha Mantra, and thus he attained the darshan of Sri Sri Radha Rasbihari.
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
That is the gift of the great soul. Our acharyas in parampara, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, do not promise anything else. They don't want to cheat the public. Srila Prabhupada explained there are so many yogis, gurus, sadhus, and religionists who are promising various materialistic benedictions. We don't care for that. We are only concerned with pure devotional service. It is the only platform of eternity. It is unending, ever existing, and full of transcendental bliss. There is nothing else that can give satisfaction to the soul. Out of many persons, muktanam api siddhanam, who have attained mukti, who have attained mystic perfection. Muktanam api siddhanam, narayana parasara. It's very rare to find one pure devotee of Narayana. Such a person is actually happy because he has attained the true nature of the soul. To know Krishna, to love Krishna. Srila Prabhupada worked so hard to establish the most beautiful temple in Maharashtra, Sri Sri Radharas Bihari Mandir. And he's inviting the whole city, the whole state, the whole world to come here to receive the ultimate benediction. The darshan of Sri Sri Radharas Bihari. And by following Srila Prabhupada's teachings in that association, we can actually see the unlimited, unparalleled beauty of Sri Radharas Bihari and find the eternal perfection of ecstatic love. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Das Bihari ji ki jai.